praise you, Lord God. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We've been speaking in here about the healing power of God. It's no wonder that this message would be attacked at different levels. But God said He sent His word to heal us. Now we know Jesus is the word, right? We also know that at the cross, just prior to being nailed to the cross, they beat Him virtually beyond recognition. And for the stripes He took, the Bible says we were healed. We're not trying to get healed. We're already healed. And the healing power of God is real. Personally, I've been healed of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, the bubonic plague, bird flu, swine flu, AIDS. Well, Pastor Jack, when did you have all those? I never did. I was healed of them 2,000 years ago. Amen. You wonder where I was going with that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm already healed of them. And if I'm healed of them, I don't have to receive them, right? We have a right to supernatural healing power. And what I'm telling you works. If we'll learn how to access healing power from the Word, we can walk free of every type of sickness and every type of disease. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. And let's go to verse 12. For the word of God is quick or alive, say alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now stop right there for a minute. The word of God is so accurate in its ability to divide between what's of God and what's of man. It says here it can discern between what's birthed out of the soul, out of man's reasoning, and what's coming out of the spirit realm, and from the voice of God. Amen? The Word of God enables you to know what's genuinely from God. It says, is able to divide between soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I tell you what, the Word of God, you get into it, it'll start unveiling you to you. It'll show you who you really are. It'll reveal your inner motivations. It will let you know what desires are in line with God's plan for your life and which ones aren't. What's based on pride, which one's based on, you know, things out of alignment with God's will for your life. And it'll also show you what He wants you to do. The Word of God is alive. Now, the Bible says in John 1:14 that Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? He was the Word made flesh. We are flesh being made Word. As we spend time in the Word, that Word is becoming part of who we are, part of how we think, and our life is starting to be conformed to the Word, which means we start to look more and more like Jesus. But that Word is alive. I want you to get this morning, if nothing else. The Word of God is alive. And because it's alive, and because you have a flesh body, just like Jesus, who was the Word, had a flesh body, you have a flesh body that is alive. God has orchestrated the life of the Word to match up with the needs of life in your physical body. Do you follow me on this? God took the Word, the program of the Word, And out of that, He birthed Jesus into this earth. The very DNA program of the Word of God was used to create a flesh body for Jesus in the earth. All glory to God. And of course, give Him His righteous nature. In the same fashion, you have a living body that God wants to bring His glory on. Now, the Word of God is full of glory. We need the glory. And the Word of God is like a living puzzle that is designed to match with our physical beings and actually every part of our being as another living puzzle. And the two are meant to intermesh to create total wholeness in life. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Are you guys following me what I'm getting at here? If we can bring the living Word into our lives, the incorruptible seed, the life of that Word will be infused within us, and we will experience, we can walk in the fullness of the power and the victory and the life and the healing of the kingdom of God. If we'll bring in the Word. Because the power is in the Word. We live in a nation where most people, even most Christians, the first place they turn when they're under some type of physical assault is they turn to the medicines. They turn to the doctors, right? And listen, we're not against doctors, not against medicine. Praise God for some medicine. Amen. But our first place to turn should be God. See, the thing is with the medicines, when you do the medicines, they will say, hey, it can deal with these symptoms, but it also will say, however, some side effects of this medication can be nausea, headache, temporary or permanent blindness, irritability, high blood pressure, and even death. Well, you read the Word of God, they don't have those, it doesn't have those side effects. Amen. And the results with the Word is where you take natural medications, often you have to keep taking them. With the Word of God, you keep taking it, you'll never deal with symptoms again. Oh, glory to God. The Word of God is alive. And if we'll take time to bring in that Word, the life of that Word will be released within us. Jesus called it our bread. In fact, He said, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven, right? It's our bread that we're to take in daily, that the life of that bread is released in us to produce the results of the Word. And we as revivalist Christians, there must be a transition made in our thinking that we recognize everything we need, every victory, all fullness, all strength, all healing, all deliverance is all contained in that Word. And that Word is our source of everything. The revivalist recognizes this book is virtually the heart of God. And that as you bring in this book, the heart of God becomes intermeshed with your heart. And you think like God thinks. You carry the power that God carries. And you fulfill the call of God on your life. But it comes down to this book. It becomes more to you than just a set of nice philosophical precepts. It becomes more than you to a nice historical, record. It even becomes more to you than just something that you want to develop expertise in, that you have knowledge of what the Word declares and you can quote different scriptures. It becomes your source of life. It becomes the thing that you run to in every situation that you're going through. Amen. And out of that, you receive the issues of life that can then flow through you. This book is my everything. If you were to ask the average person, even average Christian, would you like to be able to sit down with God and have God speak to you? Would you like to be able to sit down and hear what God has to say for your life? Well, most people would jump at that opportunity. Amen. And don't realize those that know this word is alive can do it anytime they desire. I can't open this book and not have God speak to me. And the neat thing is, you know, when we eat bread, we eat whatever food. Most of us don't eat food thinking, oh yes, now my body's gonna break down these nutrients. They're gonna cause it to break down into simple sugars and proteins, and now my body can assimilate these nutrients and it can grow and take in the vitamins, and my body will grow and be energized by it. We don't think that. You know what I think? I think ice cream. This tastes good. Oh, my stomach is filled. I was hungry, now I'm not. That's what I'm thinking. But the truth is, the goodness of the food that you taste, the pleasantness of eating, all has an end goal of really strengthening your body, fueling your life, right? I like that. Let's stick with fueling your life. That food you eat is really meant to fuel your life. Food wasn't designed just because you can enjoy putting, you know, something in your stomach. It was made so that you will eat and live strong. And we may enjoy reading this Bible. Hopefully you do. How many know the enemy tries to attack at every opportunity? You can be wide awake and open the book, and within 5 minutes you're like, I need a nap. Because the devil doesn't want you reading the Bible. And you may say, I really enjoy reading the Word. I just enjoy reading about what God has to say to me and enjoy, you know, what God's showing me. Not realizing also what's taking place is you're fueling yourself spiritually. You're fueling yourself. This book has the life we need in it to live a spiritually fueled life. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Let me throw this in as well. I don't believe here, if you have the King James Spirit, there's capitalized. I don't believe it should be capitalized. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Your flesh is not lusting against the Holy Spirit. It's lusting against your natural, your own spirit. Amen? There's a battle going on within you between your flesh and your spirit man. Your spirit man is saying, I want to serve God. I want to read the Word. I want to go to church. I want to flow in the power of God. I want to know God. Right? Your flesh is saying, I want to eat and I want to sleep. And we could throw a few other things in as well, right? Your flesh, the flesh will kill itself if left to its own, you know, voices. Your flesh will eat nothing but Snicker bars till it kills itself. It's your spirit man that rises up and says, no, 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 don't do that to us. Amen? If you die, I've got to go someplace else. And so the spirit man is warring against your flesh man. And there's a battle going on within you, whether you're going to follow spirit or follow the flesh. And of course, the battleground is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And whoever wins the battle in the soul between flesh and spirit directs the course of your life, whether you move towards God or move towards the world. Whether you follow the Holy Spirit or follow demonic voices. And of course, the question arises, well, which one is going to win? And the answer is, the one that's fed the best. The one that's best fed. So if all we ever do is feed our soul entertainment, feed our soul television, you know, and cornbread activities, even educational things that don't involve the moving of the Spirit of God, become just fluff to us. If you want to win this battle to walk in the fullness of the things of God, you must feed your spirit man the Word of God. You must have a diet of the Word. And what's neat is when you do that, the nutrients of the Word, the bread of life, as you bring in this Word and you meditate on it, the Bible says to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls, right? This Word becomes engrafted to you, and the very life of the Word is released within you, and you walk in the fullness of the power of God, the victories of the kingdom of God. And you get to that place, no weapon formed against you prospers. You get to that place that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Those verses don't work without a life in the Word. Shall I say that again? You can't walk around saying no weapon formed against me prospers if you have no Word life, because you've got no strength behind what you're saying. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, Christ can't strengthen you without the Word. You've got to fuel yourself to have strength. Try going for an extended period of time without eating any natural food. See what happens to your physical body. It'll grow weaker. Yet we think we can go indefinite periods of time without Word and it won't have an effect on our lives spiritually. There's a need that we stay fueled. I tell you what, now, I'm not like this. It's never been part of my thinking, I guess. Although in school, I did really look forward to lunch in the cafeteria when I was a kid. I never planned meals, and you've heard me talk about this before. I don't think in terms of eating. I eat when I'm hungry. I eat when I think I need to eat, And I really don't conform to the 3-meal-a-day thing very well at all. I'll forget to eat for, you know, half a day or more. Or get at night and realize I haven't eaten today. And I better eat something. But a lot of people plan their meals. And I'm not saying what I'm doing is right. I'm just saying that's the way I am. But I know people plan their meals. And you may be one of them, and it's not wrong. My wife's one of them. She plans her meals. We got up in the morning, she said, what do you want for supper tonight? I'm going, well, I don't know. I'm not even thought about breakfast yet. But she wants to lay out her meals. That's something that she schedules and prepares for and wants to have the right thing, and I appreciate that. Amen. She's putting her physical body on a scheduled feeding plan. That's a good thing, right? Now, the question now is, should you eat 1 meal a day, 3 meals a day, or 5 meals a day, right? This debate going on, how many times to eat? But just as we schedule our natural feeding times, if we want to be strong spiritually, it would be valuable to schedule spiritual feeding times. Because recognize as you take in the Word, those nutrients are being released into you. Now, some people may schedule to eat spiritually one time a day. Well, I get up in the morning and I spend a half an hour in the Word, you know, or 10 minutes, or I get my devotional, and I get my Word time in the morning. Other people say, well, you know, I like to, before I go to bed, spend time in the Word, so I really feed myself spiritually at night. And other people feed themselves through the day. Some people will carry their, you know, their New Testament with them or their confession cards, and through the day, if they have an opportunity, pull them out and think, meditate, Word to bring in that refreshing. I'm not saying one's any better than the other. Amen. But it's important that you have a time that you feed yourself spiritually. Because again, that life that's in the Word, when you bring it in, He sent His Word and healed them. The life, the program, the power of that Word's released into your being to produce the life of God within you. I've told this story before, but a group of scientists out in the future, way out in the future, science got so advanced, they thought they didn't need God anymore. And so they told God, God, you know, we've been able to, you know, heal all the diseases, and we just don't know that we need you anymore. Of course, He holds together every atom, right? But we think we can do whatever you do. And God says, well, can you make a man? So the scientists huddled together and they got to thinking, yeah, we can do this and this and this. Says, yes, 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 we believe we can make a man. We believe we can, you know, pull one together and we can do that now. So God said, well, let's do that. Let's have a contest and see who can make a man first. And so first thing the scientists did is they gathered all these dirt from all around, all these nutrients all around, and got prepared to build a man out of it. And God said, whoa, whoa, wait, 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 wait. You got to get your own dirt. I was going somewhere with that story. Y'all bear with me. God knows what it takes to make a man. And He put everything you need to be in the fullness of manhood in that Word, to provide you the nutrients spiritually, the strength spiritually you need. And so many times we think, well, we can do it ourselves. We can do, you know, we know how to walk, you know, victorious ourselves. And the truth is, without the Word, we'll fall flat on our face. The Word is everything to us. Amen? It's alive. Say, it's alive. And you need that life within you. And what happens is all of a sudden as we start to separate from the Word and we're not getting Word time, get too busy, get distracted, switch to just doing a little devotional versus having a Word time, your thinking makes an automatic subtle switch over to living by habit and reason and what would Jesus do mentality, you know, just trying to outthink God versus hear God. And all of a sudden you think you're walking with God, but you're actually walking by memory of what God has had you do in the past. And God intends for us to be led to the Spirit continually. But He can't do it beyond our connection to that living Word. Amen? And so, when you're believing God for something, your faith has to be able to connect to a promise of God, to a Word of God, to a set of Scriptures that declare you have that. And when you get that, it becomes the number one thing you embrace. I'm going to ask for a couple examples up here, or I mean a couple of helpers up here. So it might come on up here. Robert, come on up here. You can help as well. I'm going to get all guys for this. Darius, come up here. Come in. You're good. You're fine right there. I'm going to let each of these guys represent a promise of God. We'll let Mike be healing. We'll let Robert be deliverance. We'll let Darius be prosperity. He's dressed for it, isn't he? Look at this. He's got it. And so when I'm needing healing in my body, which I've had some experience with lately, when I'm needing healing, I'm not thinking what medicines can I take. I'm not thinking, you know, what do I need to do to adjust in my diet or what doctor do I need to go see? I'm going one place initially. I'm going, I need healing. And I know promises in the Word that guarantee me healing. And when I'm really battling, just stand right there. I'm going to this promise and embracing it with everything I have. I'm wrapping my life around it. I believe I receive healing in my life. And I don't let go of it until I have it. The Bible talks about Jacob wrestling with God. And I really, when I get to heaven, want to hear the fullness of that story, what all took place, what it represents. But I don't wrestle against God. I wrestle with God. It's kind of like a tag team match. Amen? But we get to both go in the ring at the same time. And so what I'm getting at is when I'm in a spiritual battle, I'm going to find the promise of the Word that I know has the life I need in it. It's got everything I need for victory. And I'm going to, whatever my body's doing, I'm going to go, I believe I receive, I receive the power out of this verse. I receive the life out of this verse. I receive the promise out of this verse. I'm going to suck everything out of that verse I can and not let it go. In fact, I will sit, stand, walk, and I'm going to do nothing but think that verse. I'm going to make my mind lock onto that and not let go until I've sucked everything out of it I can. Amen? And when you do that, you'll see victory. If I'm believing for deliverance, then I'm going to find the scriptures, whatever I'm needing delivered from, whether it's anger, frustration, sorrow, grief, or natural addictions, you know, some of you may have. I'm going to grab a hold of the promises that promise me deliverance, and I'm not going to let it go. Or prosperity, same thing. And you're going to wrap your life around, wrap your entire being around it, and hold to it until it takes you through to victory. See, that's the neat thing. The Word will carry you. You guys can sit down. Thank you. The Word will carry you. I'm sure everybody here probably knows the little writing footsteps in the sand about the man saw his life. God showed him his life and he saw footsteps. There were times where there were two sets of steps, and that was him and Jesus walking side by side. But then there'd be one set of footprints, and he says, God, why did you leave me? I only see one set of footprints. He said, oh, those are the times I carried you. Well, I mean, that's nice. You want to know how Jesus carries you? Come here again, Mike. See, if you don't lock onto the Word, there's nothing to carry you. And you'll sink with that word. But you get a hold of the word and you embrace it. I'm not going to make him carry me. Okay. But if I grab a hold of this word, the word is of infinite power. It's alive and powerful. And I don't let go of the word, and I just release my faith in the word. The word's then directed to take me through, and it will carry me through whatever. But it says you lock onto the word. Thank you again. No word, no carrying. I understand the mercy of God. He'll come through and see you at times, you know, when you're at your, you know, you don't even have the strength to call upon God. He'll come through at times. But I'm talking about where you know He's going to carry you. Faith makes a connection to the Word to release the power to see you through to the victory. Now, He sent His Word and healed us. I believe there's healing in the Word for whatever you're facing. But some things are of higher levels than others. As I'm preaching this morning, as I'm preaching right now, I'm getting stronger this morning. I feel it. Of course, a bunch of you praying under your breath for me. I appreciate that too. Go to Romans chapter 4. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to insert this. You guys will know what's going on to more detail. I'm believing for something I've never known anybody to believe for before. Whether I see it through or not, I don't know. I have a tooth. Of course, you guys have probably seen my tooth sticking out in front anyway. That 22 years ago when I quit my job, I went to the dentist. The dentist says, you've got bone loss in the front of your jaw. And I had a tooth that had gotten loose. And the dentist said, you need to see a periodontist right away or you're going to lose that tooth. And I went home and I prayed, and I just felt like the devil. I just quit my job, had no benefits. Here the devil's trying to take what money I have. I said, no, I'm not falling for that. I'm not going to go to a periodontist. I'm going to believe God for healing of this tooth. And I start confessing healing over that tooth, bone restoration. And my tooth got looser. In fact, I could just flip it like this. It was just hanging. Felt like I could pull it out. Then all the tooth around it got loose. I went back to the dentist and said, I told you to see a periodontist. Of course, he wasn't a Christian. At the time, this guy wasn't. And I said, well, I'm believing God to heal those teeth. He says, you can believe what you want to, but you're going to lose those teeth. And so in the meantime, I moved to Frankfurt. And it took me a year and a half. One morning I woke up and all my teeth were tied again. Went back to the dentist, had it checked out. Different dentist. I'd moved to Frankfurt. And he checked me. He says, you have no bone loss. You've got no, all your inclusions are perfect. Everything's fine. Total miracle. Took me a year and a half. And I mean some casting down. My wife's going, you need to get those teeth fixed. I mean, I could play them like a piano. I mean, shh. And God healed them. Well, here last year, that same tooth got loose again. 20 years later. So I've been speaking over it. Well, I've been to the dentist, and now my new dentist. He says, you got bone loss up there. Same tooth. And he said, there's nothing you can do to save it. We need to pull that tooth. I said, I'm not ready to pull that tooth yet. I believe God's going to heal that tooth. I'm believing for God to heal it. He's a Christian, I told him. Well, the first time I did a year and a half, I never had any pain. This time, pain. And, but over the past few weeks, the dentist told me the ligaments are gone, the bone's gone. And he said a key word. He says it's a gum disease or something like that or something. I said, and when he said disease, I said, no, disease doesn't belong to me. Teeth gets decayed, you know, I get it filled, but the disease doesn't belong to me. I'm not putting up with that. Plus, I knew the devil was trying to steal my tooth. And it's not about what how I look. It's not about anything other than, hey, I don't want the devil stealing from me. And it's more than that. I'll get to that in a second. So the bone loss feels fairly significant. In fact, I could press up here and feel intense pain going all the way down from the abscess in there or whatever. And I've been standing for a few weeks, had Nancy and Tom praying for me even. Went to them last week. And last night that pain got so bad that I finally took some pain meds. But the point is I'm believing for something I don't know anybody's ever believed for before. Now, I had God fix it the first time, but I've never known anybody have God save their teeth. I've known gold fillings to go in and stuff, but I'm talking about where the bone's put back like that. And it happened to me once before. Thought, God, you did it before. I'm not going to let you take it, the devil take it from me now. And so I'm determined to stand. I'm just talking, is this okay? And so I've been talking with God a lot about this. I'm preaching you can do anything. Nothing shall be impossible to you. That you can heal anything. And how can I preach that and not stand on it myself? You follow me? I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say one thing and do something else. And I'm going to get to more of this, and I'm leading up to where I'm going in the message. And so I locked horns, this time not just with symptoms, but with intense pain. I'm talking about pain. Such that, you know, really the last 3 days, I've almost done nothing but grab a hold of the Word and squeeze it. I've had stuff I had to do, but other than that, my wife knows about it. I said, Pat, I got to work on this. So yesterday after all-night prayer and going to see her yesterday afternoon, I went home and I was locked in with the Word and fought pain and symptoms and the devil scream and everything else till about midnight last night. And finally I said, I've got to get some rest. And took the pain meds. And you know what? God showed up. I'm so thankful to the Word. I've been confessing the teeth are back in position, bones are stored, and gums are healed. But that infection had gotten so bad that it was just... I mean, I virtually thought about getting a pair of pliers out of the garage and pulling them myself last night. And kept standing. Grabbing hold of that Word, everything I know. And did the pain medication, which let me at probably about 2 this morning get to sleep. And woke up, not from the pain medication, woke up pain-free. All the swelling is gone. All the throbbing and it's gone. I couldn't even touch my nose hardly yesterday without want to scream. And it's gone. And the tooth's still loose at this moment. But I'm still confessing. The point is I'm fighting a battle with this thing. Not sickness, but with a thing that I want to go into. I want to go into the repeated power to raise the dead, limbs grow out, yes. Blind eyes open. And I feel that I've got to fight through some stuff myself to encourage other people to fight. Amen. There's no sickness on my body. In fact, the word that caught me was that gum disease. I'm like, do what? No disease in my body. That's what really made me determined to fight it. So what I'm getting at is I'm standing for something I've never stood for before. Well, I did, 20 years ago, but not with the pain. But I'm standing on it for breakthroughs. In the healing power of God. Are you guys following what I'm getting at? I'm being very transparent with this because I want you to know I'm not asking you to do things I'm not doing myself. Of course, I wouldn't even ask you to do this. No, I wouldn't even think of telling what I'm doing. And I believe I've had the breakthrough. I believe that was a breakthrough. And now I'm pressing on into this thing. Romans chapter 4, have you got it? That was all leading up to this. Let's go to verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God had promised Abraham he was going to be the father of nations, right? And it was a promise given to him that he was going to receive not by following certain laws or, jumping through certain hoops, but by faith. But by believing God and acting on what he believed. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure. The promises of God are given to us in a grace package in our covenant with Him. That we receive by faith. Do you see this? It's by faith we receive His grace to access the promise. To all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are. This too situation, according to the dentist, is a dead situation. He's not even telling me to see a periodontist. He's saying it's gone. There's no ligaments even for the tooth to attach. They called it a flipper. Because you can flip the tooth. It's a dead situation in the natural. But so was it when I had migraines. So was it when I had a bad back. So was it repeatedly. I could give testimonies all day of dead situations God's resurrected. But it says, he believed God, who quickens the dead. He makes alive dead situations and calls those things which be not as though they were. This word of life gives us the authority and provides us the power to speak into the natural realm where things look impossible and speak restoration. Restoration. And as we stand in faith, we get to watch them come to pass. Verse 18, though, is the verse I've been standing on that God gave to me 3 or 4 days ago. I was seeking God. God, I need to know what's going on here. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, Abraham, by the time forgot his son's name. Isaac. Thank you, Lord. I kept wanting to say Israel, and I knew it wasn't right. By the time that Israel was... See, there we go. Isaac was conceived. Sarah's body had been dead for at least 25 years. And now Abraham's body is dead as well. This is a dead situation from both directions. They both have no ability to reproduce. Yet Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. That's the phrase I kept getting. Against hope, believed in hope. What does that mean? What it's saying is, against all natural hope, he believed in a supernatural resurrection hope. Do you see that? Against. That's Morse code. We're being held captive. Help. Who against natural possibility, there's no hope, refused to accept that as being a hopeless situation. And he embraced the word, the promise God had given him. He wrapped his arm around what God had told him and given to him by covenant. And saying, in other words, he's got to cast down, yes, my body's dead to reproduce, Sarah's body's always been dead to reproduce, but yet I refuse natural, the natural course of things, and I embrace a supernatural hope that God can intervene and will intervene and bring forth His promise. So against all natural hope, he believed in supernatural hope. And God brought forth Isaac out of that. I want to read through this on down through here and then I'll come back. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He wrapped his arms around the promise. Like I was showing you to wrap your arms around healing, he was wrapping his arms around, you'll have a seed. You'll have an heir. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his loose tooth. He considered not what the dentist said. Abraham considered not his own body and what was going on in his body. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He refused to stagger at the natural. He wouldn't pay attention to the natural symptoms. Consider not his body or Sarah's body, but instead gave glory to God. For a week, I've been praising God. I'm not praising Him. Praise you, Jesus. Because I need the anointing on my life. Amen, sometimes more than others. And you praise Him. You draw close to Him. Don't get mad at Him or drive Him away. Don't blame Him. Embrace Him. That's what Abraham did. Despite people mocking him. How many people told me, what's going on with your tooth? I'm healed. Abraham was calling himself father of nations. Amen. Father of many. People were mocking. But he refused to stop embracing God's promise. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now here's the difference between Abraham was fully persuaded out of covenant that God would do it. Here's a shift in what Abraham was doing versus I'm doing. Abraham could do nothing to bring forth that heir other than trust God. I can have the tooth pulled. I get the tooth pulled. Hey, pain's gone. I might, look like I'm from East Tennessee if I do, but there's a solution. I get a tooth pulled, it's done. But that's not God's best. And listen, I'm not saying I won't have it pulled. I'll tell you, I'm determined not to. But pain can be a impetus to do things you think you don't want to do. God's calling forth a generation that will become Abrahamic in their faith, that will move into impossible situations, say, I choose to believe God in this. Now understand, you're believing for a resurrection life power to come on the scene. The devil's going to try to confront you. And normally what you have in a situation where you're believing for impossible, you're going to have your symptoms declaring one thing, or, your situations. The Word of God declaring victory over it. And you've got to embrace one and ignore the other. Or embrace one and speak to the other. Actually, what you've got to do. And sometimes based on what you're believing for, may require greater effort of application than other things. Trying to think how to get where I want to go. What time I have left. I'm just proud I made it this far. Glory to God. Been feeling stronger. I've never stepped behind a pulpit with symptoms in my body, pain in body, my body at least, that they didn't lift as I preached. There's a grace behind the pulpit for that. To move into highest levels of operating in the power of God, operating in the giftings of God, operating in walking by faith, will require you personally to confront some things yourself. You follow me? God's not given these giftings as spokesmen. He's given them to victors. And it could be, trying to think how to say this, that in your moving forth to victory, there may be times you've got to confront some pain. Physical pain. Even mental pain. We in America, because we've got so many pain relief options, I don't like to take pain relievers. For one thing, Pastor Elizabeth Smither told us that if you start taking pills for anything, it trains your brain not to produce those chemicals to do with themselves anymore. So why do I want to deactivate pain relief chemicals from my brain by taking, the man-made version? So I'm going to take pain relievers in an extreme circumstance. But in America, we have so much pain relief, so many options. I mean, pills, creams, powders, you name it. Shots. That we as America don't confront pain well. And even to some level, a lot of Americans really fear pain or even moved heavily by it. First of all, pain is really in our bodies for our benefit. When you have pain in something, it tells you, hey, there's a sensitive area, you need to deal with it. And don't push it any further. You know, you break an arm, it hurts. That pain tells you don't use that arm anymore. Till it's fixed. So God has put pain in our bodies for a specific purpose. The problem is the devil knows how to twist that as well a little bit. He'll not just mess with you mentally and emotionally, he'll mess with you with pain as well. There's times he'll hit you with a pain. I mean, a spirit of torment, of extreme pain. Amen. And tell you you're about to die. He always connects to it, you're going to die. That you got to learn how to confront by faith. What I want to get at is sometimes for you to go to highest levels, you're going to confront that fear of pain. Because it's just an electrical signal to the brain. And tell pain to shut up and fight through some things. Amen. Against hope, believed in hope. And a lot of times we'll believe until we hit a pain. There's some pain involved. And I'm telling you, it does make a difference. That pain in your circumstances makes a difference. But you can go through that as well. Isaiah 53. Turn there. Hang on. Stay at Romans chapter 4. Remind me to go to Isaiah 53 in a second, okay? I'm running out of time here. Verse 21 again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it says in Genesis 15 that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, right? I don't know if I have time to explain this or not. We're going to have to go into it tonight. We understand through the cross, through believing in the sacrifice of Jesus, we've been made righteous. So righteousness comes out of faith. Right? You use your faith for the sacrifice of Jesus and you're made a new creation, you're made righteous. God has connected His consideration of us as being righteous. He's connected it to us believing Him. Here we see it in Abraham. He believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. We believe in the cross. Righteousness is imputed to us. I got to think how to say this and not confuse anybody. Because you're righteous through the cross and of the cross alone. But I believe you can step into the benefits and power of your righteous standing the more you'll believe God. The more you move into a lifestyle, you just believe the Word, you believe God, you'll step into more of the potential of your righteousness. And until you get to the place that you can, without hope, believe in hope, you're not going to step fully into it. Until you're willing to lock horns with an impossible situation and say, this can't be in the natural, and I'm not going to flee to natural solutions. What, not just physically, financially, in relationships, in situations you have, you're going to say, it looks impossible, but I'm going to believe and speak the word only and trust God. So you can come to a place that you'll believe and hope where in the natural there is no hope, I don't believe you can move into the full benefit of resurrection life power in your life. And on occasion, you may have to confront pain to do it. We walk, this church carries heavy healing power. I mean, miracle after miracle we see in here. But it didn't come at no expense. Well, I can't believe you're not going to the dentist having that tooth pulled. Let me explain a few testimonies. I've told them before. After I got saved, I started getting migraine headaches. Horrible migraine headaches. I mean, all I could do then was, the doctor told me they'd give me whatever pain medications I wanted. They were so bad. And I'd run everybody out of the house. Kids were little. I'd go get into bed and I'd do 2 to 4 pain pills and just try to knock out. Make it the next day. Horrible pain. And after this going on for several years, and I heard about the healing power of God, and I tried to stand. I'd say, I'm healed. I'd walk the floor. I'm healed. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm free from migraines. And never could get free. Till that time in 19, I believe it was 92. In fact, I'm sure it was 92. We just formed this ministry. Went to a party. And it was with Pastor Callum was there. You know, Pastor Jim, everybody were there having this get together. And here came a migraine. Right in the middle of the party. All these men of God all around. And a migraine hits me. Normally I would have said, Patty, we got to go home now. But I said, Patty, you stay here. I'm going out to the car, out to the van. I've got to deal with something. I went out to my van, sat in the passenger. You guys know the story, but a few haven't. Sat in my van in the passenger seat, and it had a steel dash. Had vinyl over it, but no padding. Steel dash. And I said, Devil, I've had it with these migraines. I'm not going to receive them anymore. And I'm not afraid of them anymore. I refuse to fear them. I refuse to fear pain. I refuse to fear pain whatsoever. I said, you think you can hurt my head? Watch this, Devil. I'm not afraid anymore. I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I slammed my head on the dash as hard as I could. I went, wham! I mean, hard as I could. And I sat back up, and of course, you know what happened, right? It hurt. I mean, has anybody ever had migraines near you? Ever had a migraine? My goodness. I've heard having a baby's bad, but I don't know how I can touch a migraine. I mean, bad pain. And it hurt worse. I said, Devil, that's not it. I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'm not coming out of this van until I manifest it. And I basically said, either I come out of this van with my head split open, or I'm coming up pain-free, but I'm not carrying this anymore. It doesn't belong to me. I just, against hope, believed in hope. And I slammed my head again, sat back up, and still hurt. I don't know if I hit my head 15 or 20 times, I don't know how many times. But I just kept doing it. I wouldn't leave in that van until I came out either dead, I'm serious, or migraine-free. And I hit it probably about the 20th time. Wham! It sat back up and it was gone. And I've never had them since. Well, I had to confront pain. Had to believe in hope against hope. So when I'm up here moving in miracle power, you can know I've applied it. Then about 10 years ago, I blew up my back. 9 or 10 years ago. I mean, I blew it out. I felt like 2 or 3 discs just exploded. Couldn't even breathe without excruciating pain. And crawled to my car, made it home from Georgetown, got on the couch, and of course, Patty starts chewing me out for trying to do what I was doing, lifting stuff. Did it lifting a big screen TV. And I got my CD player, tape player, I guess it was at the time, tape player, and I had a 12-tape set of healing tapes by Apostle Callahan, who, in my opinion, is the greatest healing teacher in the world. I mean, stuff we carried on our kiosk. It's just phenomenal teachings on healing. In fact, for the past really week, That's all I've done is listen to his healing messages. And I'd plug in a tape. And I'm talking about, it hurts so bad. And I'd play a tape, and then I'd rise to my feet, and I'd stomp around my back screaming. I'd go, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Stomp. I'd go claps back on the couch. I was confronting it. I was again with the pain. I'm not afraid of pain. And the devil the whole time saying, you better get to the hospital. You better call an ambulance. They're going to fuse your back. They're going to put steel rods in your back. If you ever walk again, if you don't die, you're going to be paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, I heard everything. And I put another tape in. I'd stomp around. Healed. Oh, it hurt. I spent 3 days on that couch doing that. Playing tapes and stomp. Against hope, believed in hope. After 3 days, it just dropped in me. Don't stomp this time, I want you to jump. Now, in the natural mind, jumping was about as stupid a thing as I could do. Because when you jump meant you had to come down. And it dropped in me to jump. So I finished my tape. I got to my feet. I mean, it took effort just to get to your feet. I said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And not only did I jump, you know, you can jump and kind of come down on your toes and spring. No, I'm gonna do it. I came down as flat foot as I could, like that jar on my back. I'm in a battle here with pain. Pain's trying to tell me what I can and can't do. And I jumped, and I, as high as I could, Jesus, and I came down. And when I hit the ground, I had a brand new back. No pain shooting, no nothing. Brand new back. That's been now 10 years ago, and I can lift anything. But it was there was a confrontation. What I'm getting at this morning is, where we're going, you're going to become confrontational against these natural things that want to rise up. And start building your faith to overcome the natural. Now, am I telling you got to hit your head on a dash? No, no, no. That was me. I've never told anybody hit your head on the dash. Not telling anybody to jump up and down when you got a, you know, your back screaming, although I may say it in a prayer line. I'm telling you, step into the fullness of your righteousness by believing God for everything He's promised. And if what in your life doesn't align with the Word, confront it. Watch what God does. Now, right now, from where I was when service started, I'm 90% recovered from that. Starting out when I came to church, is this okay for just a couple minutes? I didn't know if I could drive to church. Virtually, trying to maintain consciousness. Felt like I was just about to pass out. Then I thought, okay, I'll get to church and I'm going to go to my office and I'll let them do praise and worship. I'll come out to preach after they're done praise and worship. And I thought, that's not what a person does confronting situations. So I came out open service because I was going to have you open service. Open service, did praise and worship, sat down for a lot of it, just to gain what breath I could, and carried through. I virtually did not know in the natural, today, I could not have done what we just did. Could not have done it in the natural. But you've got to lock horns against the natural to move into the supernatural. Now, you may not know what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. I thought about having Mike stand behind me or Robert stand behind me during service in case I passed out. But that's not faith. Amen. You know what? I could run a mile right now. And I'm hungry. Which I wasn't earlier. Did you get anything out of this morning? There's a cost to moving to the power of God. And the cost is you believe the Word and embrace the Word above the natural. And grab a hold of it and don't let go. And watch God start promoting you in the kingdom. Father, we thank you for your Word. Oh, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I'm just showing you some verses I've been embracing. Isaiah 53, verse 4, just to save time. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. See that? The actual Hebrew rendering is surely hath borne our sickness and carried our pains. Last night, all day yesterday, all for the last 3 days, I've been saying, God, you've taken my pain. Pain doesn't belong to me. Amen. You've taken my pain. You know what? Right now, I'll point to God for the first time in nearly 2 weeks. I am pain free. Yeah. You know, when I told you the other day and I had you guys pray, and Monday night we had a meeting and I was shaking at the meeting from the pain. I had them pray for me afterwards. She put on a schedule to pray for me every 15 minutes. And next day, the pain pretty much left. But did you ever have, you know, eat like a turkey dinner, have a big piece of turkey stuck between your teeth and you could feel that pressure? Well, I spent a couple days like that. And then it went back into pain. Today, there's no turkey even. There's nothing. There's no pressure. There's no pain. There's nothing. Amen. Only turkey left is the devil.
Amen. That's right.
Father, seal the Word in us. Cause you people to rise up. And refuse to bow down to anything of the natural. We thank you for the supernatural manifested among us. In Jesus' name, so be it.